Our scientists, one day, will come to the realization that they are not working on anything fantastic or new or special. They'll just come to the realization that all is, because that's what it is. All is one. There are no individualizations in this world. There's no uniqueness in this world. There's no specialness in this world. You say, well, golly, that wouldn't be any fun at all. Who wants to be a human being and every human being exactly alike? Well, that's what you're doing. You're being a scientist. You're going around with knowledge, and you're throwing a little knowledge here and a little knowledge there, and you're saying, that's a girl, that's a woman, that's a man, that's a child, you know. And you're trying to separate them, and they're all one, because it's all only one. Now, is it wrong to do that? Is it bad to do that? Is it wrong for the scientists to say, okay, let's design an airplane, and let's have that airplane so it'll fly in the sky. Let's have that airplane so it'll fly into outer space, like the Hubble space thing, you know, going around taking photographs all over the universe, you know, and sending it back. How fascinating. Now, that's absolutely stupid. It's not sending it back. We've already got that. We've already got all the knowledge of the universe right here. All we do is choose to look at segments of it, and we have to be logical in our mind to think, how did that knowledge get here? So we say it got here through this telescope that's inside of the Hubble, inside of the space programs. And we say, this is a little baby. Now, I am psychic. I can see into the future. This little baby is going to become the president of Yugoslavia. Well, there is no place called Yugoslavia. Well, that's because that's today. When that little guy is a man and becomes the president of Yugoslavia, the country is going to be there. Now, we don't know that today. And we cannot conceive that today, because no minds have been playing with that game up to now. But the little guy has. He has in his universal consciousness, in his inner self, what he will be. But you forget, he is a boy who has been trained by Ellen. And he's been trained to realize that all is one. And he's been trained to realize that he is a citizen of what?
Universe.
The universe. See, so here now, as a little boy, he's being trained by Ellen to think of himself as a citizen of the universe. And then we know, psychically, that one day he'll be president of Yugoslavia. And Yugoslavia doesn't even exist yet, because the nations over there haven't had their wars and then decided to quit the wars and stop it and unite themselves into an organization and then have a person who has returned to their original purity and integrity be the president of Yugoslavia. You know. Now, so this little boy is there. Now, this is part of the universal picture, the universal program. Now, you see, well, is anything cut and dried or, you know, in stone? And no. Could it change? Sure. I mean, he could not be the president of Yugoslavia. That's right. For you, he could not be the president of Yugoslavia, because you decide to start thinking of other things. You stop thinking about the future. You stop thinking about it, and you go off in some tangent. And so you're in some other universe. You're in some other system. And you don't care about Yugoslavia, because it's not where your mind is. But that doesn't stop it from happening. Now, why does it not stop it from happening?
Because it is.
Because it already is. It already exists. It already is a reality. It is already its original purity and integrity. So now, why can't that little boy pop, instantly be a man and pop, instantly be president of Yugoslavia and pop, have Yugoslavia be whatever it is, you know? Because you are so slow in your thinking. You know? You're so slow in your realization that, hey, all is now. You say, I want to play the game. I want to see the little child growing up, and I want to hug him when he's 8 and 10. I want to do this for him. I want to send him to school, and I want to... Hey, if you really care about this little character and yourself, you'll instantly say, it is done now. He right now has married this beautiful girl and has 12 children, and he right now is traveling the world, having a great time, and he right now is going to be selected out of the universal allness, out of the all the people in the world, to be the guiding light for this world over here that is gelling, is coming into shape and into form. And right now, and you're there. You didn't go wanderlusting off to another universe like you had thought of doing. You decided to stay home. Or you decided to go both places. Be aware of both places. You're aware of yourself off there, and you're aware of yourself off here. And you are aware of yourself in a billion places, a zillion places, a trillion places, quadrillion places. You're aware of yourself, but you don't realize you're aware of that because you say, I'm only human. Well, now, your human self may not have the capacity to be aware of all that. And that's incorrect, isn't it? Your human self has the capacity to be aware of all that as much as your spiritual capacity. Now, why don't you do something about it? We keep saying, I'm only human. Now, whoever created the human being to be the human being to be limited? Parents. Now, you're a child. You pay attention. Brush your teeth. I want you to have good teeth. Now, clean your plate. Always clean your plate. Always eat everything that's on your plate. All the garbage is on your plate, you know. You know, and you wash your face. You take your shower. If you don't take a shower, you'll stink, you know. Well, you don't stink because you don't take a shower. You stink because you have bad attitudes in your mind. The sports players are absolutely competitive and absolutely emotional, absolutely with their body emotions all in there. And they want to win or they want to do whatever they're doing. And that causes the body emotions to send out all these odors. It's not from any, well, what would it be from? Why is it that a person who is lying in bed stinks and a person who is on the sports field stink? And why is it another person lying in bed smells like a rose and the other person on the sports field smells like a rose? He never perspires. He never has any odors about him. He is always pure. He is always his original purity and integrity. Now, can we do that? Well, sure we can. Do we want to do that? No. Because we even sell perfumes that are like a body odor because people like to buy that sort of stuff. Now, isn't that the silliest thing in the world? Now, why do we honor and praise death? We honor and praise death. You don't speak ill about the dead, you know. You don't put down the dead person, you know. You don't whatever. And so, now, why is that? How silly. That person isn't dead. That person is as much alive now as it was when it was 2 years old, or 8 years old, or 50 years old, or 100 years old. It doesn't really matter. All time is now, and all space is here, and all of us are doing everything. You see, we want to live in the universal oneness. And if I can in any way turn on your universal oneness interest, oh, I had it all the time. My goodness sakes, isn't that wonderful, you know? And it's true. It's true. Anita tried to pull a game on us this morning, and she showed us these pictures of this girl and this boy. And she was saying, this girl is so gentle and so nice and so loving, and this boy is so gentle and nice and so... Well, they are not. They are themselves. They're not gentle or loving or nice to achieve something. They are that by their nature. And you tried to sell us a story that that was something they are. And from your point of view, and you said, and you thought it was so smart of her not to buy a dress while she's developing her human form. And hey, she can have her perfect human form right now. That's what you want to see for her. She has her perfect human form right now, and she has her perfect dress right now, which she doesn't have to rent, which she can wear more often than even at the festivities, you know. She can wear it around the house, you know, mm-hmm. and go around the house acting like a lovely flower. And see, we don't want to limit these things. We do. We limit because we limit from our point of view. And if we would limit from the universal, and that's not a limit, if we could see it from the universal, then we'd be like the scientists. They don't care. The scientist says, let's see. Let's make this into a beautiful Cinderella story, a beautiful Alice in Wonderland story. Let's have the Big Bang Theory. And the Big Bang Theory never happened. Because if you were able to be intelligent enough to be at the birth of the child, here this little being is born out of the womb. And it's just a little thing you can hold in your two hands, maybe a little bigger, but depends on how big it is. But it's usually small. And then you look at it and you say, that's a step in the Big Bang Theory. Tomorrow, that little being is going to be bigger. Tomorrow, next day, the being, and as years go on, it's going to be, and then he's going to be a man, and he's going to have children, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that. You know, oh my goodness sakes. Now, that's how the scientists wrote the Big Bang Theory. Because they just stopped in time, and they took each step of what an atom might do if it were being broken up into pieces, you know. And as they did this, they wrote down the story. Mm-hmm. What's the story of Alice in Wonderland? It's Alice falling through the looking glass. I mean, how stupid, down into a hole or something like that. You know, and then floating and her skirt holding her up as she's floating around and having all these stupid things saying, how wonderful, how magical. And what did the queen in Alice in Wonderland want to do all the time? Cut off their heads, remember? Mm. I mean, how terrible. But it wasn't terrible. And a tea party where there's a hole in the bottom of the cup. And you pour stuff in and it runs out the bottom. This is magic. This is the mind seeing all these things that never was or never were or never will be but are right now. And they exist in this universality. You, when you can train yourself to be a universal dreamer, then you won't be like the scientists. You won't have to take it step by step by step. You'll see yourself there. You'll see yourself floating. You ever see yourself swimming through the sky? And you didn't really swim, you just thought here and you went there, and you thought here and you went there in your dreams. And if you didn't do that, yeah, you missed a lot of fun. But what happens when you're doing it? When you're doing it, you're there. And you can't do that. You have gravity. You have a body that's just waiting to you down. You can't do that, but you do it. And then you swim underwater. And you're swimming down there, with looking around, enjoying things, and breathing the water, but not really breathing, because you're not breathing, because you don't have to breathe. Mm. Because this is just what you are. And you float into the water. You float down. You float down. You don't float up, as you would normally do, because your body has that sort of aspect about it, to float. And why are we doing all these things contrary to the physical nature that we have? We are the creators of our own nature. And every experience we have, every thing that we ever dream about for ourselves, everything that we do for ourselves, it's because we are one as all, the universal allness. And these are the things that we're taught. And these are the things that are being demonstrated more and more every day. And you, and you, and you, all of you. The world is yours right now, if you're willing to enjoy it. But if you're going to try to put it in your framework and your point of view, then you limit it. But if you unlimit it and say, I wonder if, if this were to happen there, that's how. And then as you start spreading your imaginative wings which Einstein tells us to do. Take our illumination, our imagination, and let it go. It's our greatest blessing. Where do you think Plato got all of his ideas for writing his books? Where do you think the divine inferno came from Dante's mind? Well, how did it come? It was his imagination. There's no divine inferno except in his imagination. And the imagination of everybody who looked at it and thought that that's what hell's like. Or that's what heaven's like. We always forget that Dante also wrote about heaven. And he wrote about all these things. You too can write about all these things, and because they're what's going on in your mind and your heart, and they're the theater of your mind. And in that theater, you're living only half a show. Because what's going to come on after you leave the stage? Some other show? Yeah. And what's the most stupid thing that you believed last night? You believe that this woman crawled inside of her dryer in her home and came out of the dryer in this rich person's home whom she wanted to be. Now, isn't that the most crazy, outrageous, disgustingly funny thing that you could ever imagine?
Mm-hmm.
And you believed it. You didn't 1 minute doubt that she was doing it. Not for 1 minute, even though it was absolutely outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why? Because you were ready for craziness. I mean, here she was trying to get into her dryer, and you knew she was trying to get in her, and she crawled in, and you don't crawl in your dryer has a back to it. You can't do that. It's just impossible. But she saw a light, and she went there. And when she came out, what did she have to have? She had to have a midwife. She had to have a handmaiden who was there to help her and who understood her unhappiness, and said all the right things. Wasn't she a beautiful handmaiden?
Yes.
Now, could you have thought of writing someone as glorious as that into that script?
Mm-hmm.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
You did. So, today, let's start creating a little more of our own scripts. Let's start writing the things. It doesn't have to be an imaginative story. It's always imaginative, though. But it can be something that represents your dream. That's what Mark's doing all the time. He's writing his dreams, thinking about electric airplanes. We had that in our discussions early on in his life, of battery and electricity and stuff like that. We worked on that for a long time. And then he went on to his own program, far advanced to anything that we had thought about earlier. But the step was made for him, and he took it, and he is blessed by it. Now, what is he doing? He brings children into his household who need love, and he loves them and sends them on their way. He is a foster care person, you know. How wonderful. And Mark has so many projects going. You'd think he wouldn't have time to do that. But he has time to do that because he has
love.
Unconditional love. And unconditional love doesn't take time. Your girlfriend, she's unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't take time. It bubbles out of her.
Mm-hmm.
It's her nature. And Christian is unconditional love. And you. And you. And you. And you. And you. Sound of Music. Have a lovely day, and know that I see you in the allness. I see you knowing it and understanding it and not being confused by it, but being delighted as you are having more and more of it revealed to you because you have the capacity to do it.
Thank you.
I love you. I love you. I love you.
Okay, thank you.